opportunity for the public to provide comment on items relevant to council business that are not otherwise listed on the agenda. Turn to the public. Louis? For the record, please turn on the mic and state your name.
Good morning. My name is John Whiteside. I'm an attorney at Mickelson Barnett of New Bedford, and I'm here this morning representing Marta Trolling. Although I'm here on behalf of Marta Trolling, their position is not unique. Quite the opposite. Every individual I've spoken with in the past 4 weeks who's associated with catching, processing, or shipping skate wings has said essentially the same thing. The council needs to take immediate emergency action by reopening the skate wing fishery. My client's plea is fair and equitable, will achieve necessary conservation objectives, and will have an immediate positive impact on communities already devastated by the economic downturn in the economy. It's my understanding that in setting the catch limits, the council received data and recommendations from many different sources, including SMAST. My client has reason to believe that the council has known for some time that the early calculations were based on flawed data, and despite numerous opportunities for the council to adjust the data, no action was taken. As a result, Winterskate, whose biomass was lumped together with skate species who may be less abundant. The council should have and could have accepted and adopted higher catch limits of winter skate, but the council chose to adopt ultra-conservative, some would say hyper-conservative, catch limits. The result of these very conservative catch limits has been the effective closure of the fishery when it reached 80% of the TAL 4 months into the season. And fishermen, processors have been damaged unnecessarily as a result. The skate wing fishery was essentially closed when the landings reached 80%. It's not rationally related to achieving any reasonable conservation goals. It's my client's opinion that the skate wing fishery should be open at 5,000 pounds per trip right up until the 100% of the landings, just as the dogfish are. There's no rational basis for closing the fishery, having an effective closure of the fishery at 80% when skate bait is closed at 90% and it's dropped dramatically. Both should be closed at 100%. Maintaining the 500 pounds per trip limit on skate wing only ensures that the skate wing fisheries will not reach 100% of the TAL simply because it's not economically viable for vessels to fish for 500 pounds of skate wing. My client agrees with the analysis raised by Tom Dempsey in his letter dated September 1st, 2010 to Paul Howard, which the council has, specifically that the skate discard estimates do not account for the substantial changes in the groundfish fishery due to sector management and do not reflect the expanded information available from the increased observer coverage of the groundfish fleet. My client also agrees with the analysis raised by Ted Platts in his letter to John Pappalardo, which is also in the council's documents today, specifically number 6, that the data used to form the catch limits is too old to be of any real value. Additionally, the 2008 trawls show a geometric increase in winter skate, but because the 2009 trawl data has not been used, has not been converted, we're using data that's, at this point, essentially 5 years old. That's unacceptable. The council needs to adjust the catch limits annually. Using data that's from 5 years ago and trying to project what it will be for another 2 years makes no common sense. As the council knows, winter skate are small predators. Reliable indicators show their biomass is not only stable, but rapidly growing. My client believes that the very conservative mortality discard rates that have been imposed will eventually be proven to be highly overestimated. My client believes that that 53.7% mortality will be proven to be less than 30%. However, today the Council can act by reopening the skate-wing fishery by converting the discards that were projected for the next 6 months, converting them into landings. As the Council knows, there are no discards in the direct fishery of the skate-wing, and as I raised earlier, the indirect discards are low due to sector management. In essence, other fisheries don't fish where the skate are. In conclusion, the closure of the skate-wing fishery, the effective closure at 80% of the TAL, has resulted in the loss of hundreds of jobs. Buyers from many different countries are now shifting and buying skate-wing from other countries, other places, not here. Not only are the people who are involved directly and employed directly in the industry, have they been harmed, but the processors as well. And it's the relationships that have been formed over many years that have been damaged as a result. Respectfully, my client, and I'm sure many others in the room, and some who are not here, request immediate action be taken to put these people back to work, reopen the fishery that is now shut down. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for Attorney Whiteside? Thank you. Anything further on this topic? Steve?
Steve Barndoller, Sea Trade International, Portsmouth, New Hampshire, and New Bedford. On the same issue, somewhat echoing what John's comments are, we're dealing with 2008 data, the 2009 data, which Paul Rager referred to in his dogfish monitoring meeting statement last week, is available a year late, or a year late certainly in this study. Either we adjust the opening of the year from May 1st onward to reflect that data, or get NOAA and certainly statistical survey data into your hands faster, a year after, with statistical correction for the Bigelow data, which shows Christian from Zeus, who's closed his doors as a result of the cutback. We got this data out of the Science Center. Shows, I think, 5.6 threshold tow data per kilo, which has now risen to over 11.3. So the fishery should be declared for the winter skate fishery rebuilt. Statistically, it's there, it's accepted, and now we're looking at a closure. We've eliminated 50 jobs just in our own plant in New Bedford because of that. And, you know, I know Secretary, this was brought up to Secretary Locke's closed-door meeting last week in Washington. They're considering economic emergency data, and I think we're just working on flawed assumptions here on the data that's available. The 5% contingency figure for errors and emissions, again, I question the 25% along with a 53% discard rate. I don't know where that figure comes from, and I think in the scallop industry, scallop plan is 10%. So why is skate subjected to a 25% errors and emissions, from Andy's plan? Please revisit it. Think about the job losses here. Look at the new data that's available, and hopefully we can shorten the time when that data is available and comes to you, so we're not talking about 2 and 3 year old data when we are facing a closure of the fishery. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve. Rich?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Rich Kanashta, Whalen City Auction, New Bedford, Mass. It just amazes me when you have 90 million pounds on the ACL and 60 million is taken off for scientific management and dead discards, and it just doesn't make sense with the way the economy is. Our export deficit compared to imports, where 95% to 99% get exported overseas, that we wouldn't step back and look at the new data that's out there. One of the things I do want to bring up is that with sector management, the vessels are fishing differently this year. The vessels are fishing with separator trawls, and the separator trawls are not catching skates. There is zero discards or very little discards. I would ask the council to go forward and try to get real-time data on discards in this fishing year to compare it to what you stated would be somewhere around 40 million pounds of discards. We do not want to leave this fish in the ocean. We want to be profitable. We want to increase our deficit on exports. Again, this item is exported throughout the world. And as previous speakers said, when you lose the market, it's very hard to get back. So let's not come here next year and say, well, we did make a big mistake and New Bedford, Gloucester Processors has lost their market. Right now, skates are being bought out of Argentina. Europe prefers our skates here in New England. Thanks.
Anyone else on this topic? Andy?
Hi, Andy Baylor, Nantucket Fish Company out of Chatham, wholesale dealer. Chatham has been, for the last 10 years, one of the largest landing ports of skates in the day boat fishery. And much of our fleet has relied on survival through skates. And this summer, the boats would go out and be at the dock at 9 in the morning because there are so many skates. Now that you've gone to 500-pound trip limit, we're out of business. And it's not like the problems were solved through sectors at this point in time because there is very little inshore fisheries for the fleet in Chatham to harvest. You end up being 80, 90 miles, 100 miles offshore, and that is not a small boat fishery for codfish or anything. So skates has been our bread and butter, and we don't have any butter anymore, so to speak. 40 million pounds of discards, which are not being discarded, which are not even being landed, because it's not possible with the new formations of the sectors and how they fish. You can run the numbers. You can get all the observed coverage. You can get the discard rate if you go and look at it. Now, I mean, that's discards. We'd like to see that discard be changed immediately and see some of that discard go back into an active harvest. Now, that may not be in the plan. They may not be a tool to do that the way the plan was written. And if you look at that itself, that is a problem. How can you write a plan and leave it so locked up tight that nothing can be changed? 40 million pounds. At this point, we've already gone 7 months into the year. There's only 6 months left for harvesting. You haven't touched that discard number. We should be getting 10 million pounds easily out of that discard into an active fishery. Yet it seems that it's out of touch because there's no rulemaking process in that, unless you go to this emergency action and you have to show some type of extreme change or hardship in this case. And there is an extreme change. You have more skates than you know what to do with. The numbers in 2009 show it. The 2010 keeps going up. But we're living too far back in the past. Now you're at 500 pounds and you have 4 million pounds of fish to harvest, as in wings, at 500 pounds. That's 8,000 trips. How many vessels are actively going to be landing that? I'll give you an example. If 50 vessels land 500 pounds, that's 160 trips per vessel. Well, 7 months to go and the year is over. But out of the vessels that land skates, most of them are on multi-day trips. They're not day boats. They can't make that many trips. You will never achieve the 4 million pounds because of this 80% trigger. We should have an active fishery. If it's 2,000 pounds, you could easily put it at 2,000 pounds. I'll bet you won't hit the number at 2,000 pounds. A dragger goes, he's got a 5 to 7 day trip. He's got his 2,000 pounds. He can only do so many trips in a month. Day boats, they'll have more days to be able to do it, but we're going to be fighting weather all winter. And then we go to our monk fishery in the winter, which we counted in the canyons to be able to have skates to make the trip feasible. The boats out of Chatham are running 70 miles on that trip in bad weather. And if it's 1,500 pounds a day on monks, if you get your monks, you need the skates. Those skates were worth a dollar a pound last year. I mean, there's something you don't really see is the value of these skates. It's very high. We need to have that ability to be able to land more skates. 500 pounds is it. There is no fishery. There is nobody targeting it. With insect management, there are no boats landing. They're not targeting certain species if they catch skates. If they're skate fishing and they catch other species, they get shut off in another fishery. So you do not see this active pursuit the way you put this discard out. We need to make an adjustment now before it's too late for the industry, before it's too late for the small boat fleet, which is going to have a hard time surviving. So I plead with the council to make some kind of motion today to present something to NIMS that we increase the daily trip limit now to persecute the 4,000 pounds that's available. Second, that we look at the discard issue and can we convert the discard into landings now, because we'll never reach them. Thank you.
Anything else on this topic? Any other commenters? Ted?
My name is Ted Platts. I'm a monk fisherman, skate fisherman from Newport, Rhode Island. I sit on both the monkfish and skate advisory panels. I participated in creating this disaster that's driven by stale science. It's the most frustrating management process I've had to participate in, because I think everybody that walked out of there knew that this wasn't going to work. We're talking about a 75% reduction for scientific and management uncertainty. We're talking about 50% discard mortality rate. We're shooting in the dark here with these numbers, and what we've done is we've shot the monkfish fishery and we've shot the skate fishery at the same time. This management plan has nothing to do with reality. It's based on good science that is now almost 24 months old. And so what it really tells us is that working with science that is 20 months old, 24 months old, will create a disaster. And I think if we go through the history of fisheries management in New England and we look at our chronic and persistent use of old science, we see that we have not really had any success. What we really do is mitigate failure. And that's what's happening presently. And this is a harbinger for what's to come. Because if you look at the skate fishery and the monkfish fisheries and you assume they're quota-managed fisheries, they wouldn't be effectively shut down, as the previous speakers were saying. They would be literally shut down. Because managing with 2008 data, that is, for those people that care to look at it, pretty good. It shows the spike in the biomass in skate that we all saw in 2008. It's good science, but it's too old. The spike has continued for two more years, and we're being held to numbers from 2008. Well, of course we caught 80% of the tack. Look at how much you took out of it, and look at how old your estimates of what the catchable biomass are. So if you're in a quota-managed fishery, you're going to close fisheries if biomasses increase rapidly. So if you believe catch shares is a good management system, then this science system will sink catch shares as quickly as it sank, or as readily as it sank, days at sea management. Because the problem here isn't the management system. I mean, I don't think days at sea was going to work. I don't think any fishery with daily trip limits will ever work. You create discards, and I think we all know that now. But when you use science that's this old, it doesn't matter if it's good. The Science Center has been telling us their science is good. I believe what Jimmy Rule's been at this council saying for years, that we have the best scientists in the world. I agree with that. I think we have good scientists. I think what we have is a management system that has failed and has removed from the table that this council works at the opportunity for success. If you are working with good data that is 20 months old, what is happening with the skate fishery is telling us is you will produce failure. Profound failure, as you are hearing today, and as I know what my losses will be on this, and I know what the losses for every monk fisherman in southern New England will be, as well as the skate fishermen. We have not been able to get our 24-hour and a minute landings in the monkfish fishery since 2008 with regularity. The reason is because the skate are so omnipresent on the bottom that they close our nets. And so, fortunately, skate price is up. It's pretty good. We make money on that. But we don't make what we made on monk. We, in fact, are targeting monkfish and catching more skate than monk. Think about that. We're targeting monkfish and moving to bottom where we'll catch less skate, and we're still catching more skate than monk. This is not a problem with management. This is a problem with the management of science. The way we solve this problem, what pains me is that it's so readily solvable. All we got to do is get the science into the management system within 3 or 4 months, whether through use of public sector employees at the science center or tapping into the private sector and having people do the audit work and the peer review work outside of the public sector. You get the science done in that period of time, 3 to 4 months. A fast-moving management framework can go through in 6 months. We did it in Framework 5 in the Monkfish Memo. We made a very small number of changes. That gives you 9 months. If we had the 2009 trawl survey data here to work with and we could have made adjustments to this fishery, you wouldn't have all these upset people here and you wouldn't have the economic disaster you have on your hands now. This is the problem. The science needs to get into the system within 3 to 4 months, and the management system needs to create rolling frameworks for every fishery so that you can input nothing but new data. Management measures need to be considered in separate, either frameworks or amendments, but you don't clutter the rolling frameworks with management measures. You just input the data. In this way, we could get science into the management system and out into the fisheries in less than a year. It's entirely doable. And there's no reason not to do it. Now, I have talked with people at the Science Center and at the Northeast Regional Office and elsewhere about why this doesn't happen on the council staff. You know, you get a couple of excuses. You say, well, it costs too much. Well, that's lame excuse number one. How much is it costing everybody to have this fishery closed when we do finally put the 2009 data, this council and all the fisheries managers in this region will have the embarrassing task of announcing that the winter skate fishery is now fully rebuilt, having been shut down for the last 7 months of the 2010 fishing year. That's some egg on your face. The other excuse is it's too expensive. Private sector companies are too expensive. We can't farm the work out. One of the beautiful things about the private sector is that when demand is made for a product, such as analysis of fisheries data, businesses pop up to handle that demand. They also hire people, existing businesses do, to further handle it. This also means there's more people competing for the work, which actually drives down the first problem, price. More competition means a lower price. These problems can be solved. I mean, it's not that hard, and I think that's what has people so frustrated. But if we continue to work with data that's 12 months old, then we're just going to keep repeating this performance. And if you think catch shares and sector management is going to make the fisheries healthier and really be a big improvement, then it's going to be worse. Because what the simple formula you get from a skate management situation is, given old science, good science that is old, if the biomass increases rapidly, the fishery will close. It's the old basic eighth grade if-then formula given one set of circumstances. And that's what skate is demonstrating to us. I sat at the council meeting in April and I told you how we handle skate will reflect on how much we've learned from dogfish. And here we are. I would say right now we haven't figured out a lot. But I think the answer is getting the science in the system faster and combining management plans and creating rolling frameworks to input data seems like the right way to go. But the science is good. 2008 data is good. It's just old, and that's what's killing us.
Thank you, Mr. Platts. I can't say that I disagree with much of what you had to say. In fact, I think you've done a good job of articulating a lot of the frustrations that I've heard just about every council member express from one plan to another, and I know most of the audience shares a similar frustration. I think the practicality of instituting what you've pitched is something that does need to be explored. And I don't know if you're going to be here tomorrow, if you're planning to. I know we're talking about monkfish tomorrow. I suspect you will be here. Tomorrow at 8:30, Eric Schwab is going to be here to announce a management strategy evaluation, or a management review of the Northeast, based on a letter that I had written back in December. I urge you to make sure your comments are fed into that process. I think you have the kernels of some good ideas there, and I think, as you can appreciate, this is a really big machine that works to put together, in its current construct, that works to put together FMPs. And there's mandated timelines that are required to carry out the mission. And, you know, it is very frustrating for council members to know that there's information available, newly, freshly available, and that it's not being incorporated into the action of the day. I hope we can get to a place where we are feeding more timely information into our decision making. I think we all do. I don't think anyone wishes other than that. And this could be the opportunity that we've been looking for. It does go both ways. Today we're talking about a circumstance where things are better than we thought they were, and there's frustration at not being able to capitalize on that. It does go the other way, too.
I agree. It definitely goes the other way, and this is a good example of it. But going the other way has produced an effective fishery closure, so the benefits are hard to appreciate.
Fair point.
I'll be here tomorrow morning.
Fair point. Thank you. Anything else on this topic? On this topic, Ron?
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ron Smallwood's Fishery Survival Fund. I just want to bring up another aspect of this problem. We've been out there this past week testing a new scallop dredge, and there is no doubt that there are huge amounts of skate out there. The last couple of years, I'm speaking inshore, little skate, just a lot of skate. One of the things to be aware of is that winter flounder, besides going into the estuaries to lay their eggs, they lay their eggs out and that bottom where these skate are. These skate are devouring winter flounder eggs. So what does that mean? That means the M for winter flounder is being totally miscalculated as well. Because there's so many skate out there, it means you're probably overestimating discard mortality. So there are a lot of issues here that impact more than the skate fishery. And I'm just wondering if we have a mechanism to actually increase the catch rates of removals of skate so that we could start, you know, if we're talking ecosystem management, we need to increase the catches of skate so we could bring back winter flounder.
Louis?
Louis at Marder Trolling. When we create that plan, we went to from boat fishing about 100,000 pounds of skates to 20,000 pounds. I think you have not been patient enough to wait the result of that. I think the plan was created in 2000 or 2001. I was participating to it. And the reason we did put 20,000 is to rebuild the skates. Today, since 3 years, you can see the kilo per tow going up. And this is the result of that. Now, why did you want to create an Amendment 3 for it and not wait until you were sure of the kilo per tow were going up? It's beyond me. The last thing I want to see is an economic thing, is that you are all sitting around this table. But pretty soon you will have no processor and no fishermen, and you are going to talk to each other. All right? Thank you.
Anything further on skate? Anyone else? Okay. Come to the council. Anyone on the council wish to make any comments? Dave Preble?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think you said it well, but Andy and Ted and Ron, that was one of the most eloquent statements I've heard on an essential problem that we have faced here, and we've talked about how to solve it, and yet we don't seem to come up with a solution. And what it does, by having such a low velocity of data flow, is that we have a substantial portion of the industry that are truly convinced that the science isn't any good. And I was glad to hear Ted make the point that it is good science, because it really is. And but we have to do something about the velocity of the data flow. It's just they're right.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Going back to the executive committee meeting, we did have a discussion there on the skate discard number. At that time, both Jim and I questioned whether the calculations, which are extrapolated, took into effect the change in fishing behavior that was instituted with Amendment 16. And we got one answer at that time, which sort of answered the question. And subsequent to that, we got information that, in fact, the information that we got during that meeting was not correct. So I'm sort of up in the air as to where we are with our questioning of how that discard number is calculated, and did it in fact take into effect the change in fishing behavior that was implemented as of the 1st of May this year? And I guess my question is, how do we work through that to find out that we in fact have the correct discard number that we're working with?
Andy?
The discard rate was estimated using 2007 to 2009 data. So it was updated for the SSC meeting that occurred in February, I believe it was, of this year. Since the Amendment 16 went into place in May and we were uncertain of the effects, in fact, there's no quantitative analysis of the effects of Amendment 16 on skate discarding. There's a qualitative assessment by the PDT, which suspects that discarding may actually increase if the sector vessels begin targeting skates more frequently with days at sea that are no longer needed to fish for groundfish. So that's where we stand at this time. We have partial information for the year. Using SBRM methods requires a year's worth of data, and we're not through the 2010 year when the Amendment 16 was in place. So it certainly needs to be looked at, but the issue is timing and the completeness of data when you do that.
Just a follow-up is, I guess what I'm hearing is that, first of all, there's a guess by the PDT as to what the sectors are doing or what their catch rates are. Has there been any incorporation of current observer data that's coming in into this?
When we set specifications in February through the SSC, we used data through December of 2009. There's been no subsequent action on skates. And to estimate discards, we using SBRM methods, we need a year's worth of data to do that.
I think on this particular point, it's not a question necessarily of monitoring. It's a question of reporting and analysis of the data in a more frequent nature. Two different items. And I guess I think where Rip was going is there an ability to actually analyze what monitoring information we currently have with respect to the presumption or the assumption in the amendment. That's just an open question.
I think there's some data that can be analyzed, but doesn't there's a disconnect between the limited data that we have for a specific portion of the fleet that's discarding skates for a limited amount of time and what we need to estimate to make some sort of adjustment for a complete year.
Right, Beth?
I don't clearly understand all the different sectors in the skate fishery, but it does. I am curious about what information. It seems in groundfish, for vessels that are operating in sectors, we have an ongoing process of updating what bycatch and discards are in the fishery. And so we've completed one quarter, and I wonder if it's useful to ask if the Science Center could come back to us in November with what the data is on sectors and their discards of skates and how that might affect the numbers so that we might be able to see what the possibility of providing some relief and having an in-season adjustment to this particular tack. If there's an assumed discard rate and those discards aren't going on and the economic hardship is significant, having the ability to make some adjustments seems to be warranted, but I don't see where we have any data today to do that. And so I would ask Pat if she thinks her staff or the staff at the Science Center, since they are looking at discard rates on an ongoing basis for sectors, if they could come back to us in November with some data.
We're looking at the discards for the groundfish fishery right now. I mean, the groundfish discards. The observer information isn't being processed for everything. We're trying to stay real time on the groundfish aspect of it. But I do think that there's some information there. I think that it's a task that's appropriate for the PDT, frankly, because they have access to that information as well. We would certainly support looking at the information and seeing what is available. There's not going to be a lot because we're only 4 months. We've only got 4 months' worth of data, never mind the observer information. So I don't know that you're going to be able to draw any conclusions from it, but certainly worth looking at.
So I guess to follow up with you, Mr. Chairman, is that something that we think that is doable for the PDT to at least take some look at the data that's available?
The staff, Andy's the PDT staff for the council for skate, and he was going to start up on whiting. But I turn to Andy and see what he has to say.
Well, the issue is not just me, but the support from the center on the PDT, and all of us are involved in whiting assessment right now.
Jimmy? David?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. One of the things I think people might want to look at is one of the assertions made by the speakers that at 500 pounds a day, the remaining 20% won't be caught. There must be some time now under that limit and some projection made as to whether or not, in fact, that is a true statement. If it's not, then perhaps the service could adjust the trip limit to some level higher than 500 pounds to reasonably ensure that the remainder of that 20% that is currently allocated will be caught. I wouldn't have a guess as to what that number might be. If 500 is appropriate, then that's fine. It's the best we can do. But if the number could be 1,000 or 1,200 or 900 or whatever, it might make it more economically feasible for both the processors and the people that are catching skates anyway to continue to stay in business. So that might be a kind of a quick and dirty short-term thing that you could look at between now and November to see if there's anything that can be done there. And I'm not even sure that takes council action. I believe that's more in the just like adjusting the yellowtail trip limit at the end of the year on George's Bank or something. It could be adjusted by the service. Thank you.
Andy, did we put an in-season adjustment in the skate, or did we just hardwire a 500-pound?
Um, I don't know that the council could take an action under a skate plan that do an in-season adjustment, but they're on the 500 pounds, but there's not something specific built in within the plan itself. It's part of the specification process. So your answer is a bit equivocal, I'm sorry, but I'm not sure what kind of action. We have two kinds of action. We have framework adjustments and specification process. The next specification process is scheduled to begin next spring and to apply to the 2012 year.
So the regional administrator doesn't have the authority to make the move on her own per the plan. The council could take up an action to change the 500 pounds, but what I'm hearing from the discussions is that we have very limited data by which to make a decision on what the appropriate number would be.
The point of discretion that the regional administrator would have under a plan is if the fishery is not projected to take the TAC by the end of the fishing year. There might be some additional analysis that can be done using the 2009 fishery data on the effect of 500 pounds. To some extent, that's already incorporated in the plan, but whether from this point to the end of the fishing year, 500 pounds would take 100% of TAL is something that could be perhaps refined. I don't think it's going to make that much of a difference, however.
Anyone else on the council? Any kernels of wisdom? I personally wish we could do something about this. I mean, I wish I had a very clear path on how to convert the large discard number over to directed landings number, but I went back through the plan and looked it over, and I don't see the bridge in the plan that allows us to do it through our normal process. It's very frustrating to me personally. I don't know if other council members have a different take on it, but seems to me there needs to be a way for us to react or adapt, put some adaptive management on the table. I don't see that the plan had the forethought to put that in. Mary Beth?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It seems that we've developed regulations that prevent us from achieving OI in our fisheries regionally, and I think we should look to some other regions and how they deal with it and their focus on achieving OI. And if you incorporate into your plans methods to allow different sectors to roll unused quota from one group to another, so that in this particular case where you have significant change in a certain sector of the fishery, that hopefully, or I don't know if hopefully is the right word, but that it's not going to have this discard mortality going on, that you could roll it over to the directed fishery. The current plan doesn't do that. We don't have any plans that do that, quite frankly. But it is something that we should consider. And unfortunately, with what we have set up here, it would mean amending each plan, which we talk about the issues associated with that. But it is a method that works in other places, and we should consider it.
Anything further from the council? All right. We've flown right through the public comment period time. I'd like to get Sminey Dogfish completed before lunch. So we'll turn to Jess.